Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We are all welcome in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to this service this evening. This is our School of the Spirit service. Here we teach on the perfection of the church to grow into and manifest the perfection, the fullness of Christ, manifest the glory of God, and close the age. And this is the thing that is uppermost in the heart of God as we speak, and consequently it is important for the church to pay attention to these things, and probably more importantly practice and act upon them, so that we can, like the scripture says, amazing scripture, be accounted worthy. So it's not going to be everybody. Now that's not because God doesn't want it to be everybody. That's just because there are conditions that are laid down, and it's only those who fulfill the conditions that we'll be able to. Not because God is not exclusive, you see. God's not like that. God, you know, God's nature is wonderful. He's such a just and kind and loving person. Shall we bow to pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful presence that is already in our midst. As we enter into your word, we enter in with reverence, fully conscious of the limitations of our human minds to deliver as well as to receive the infinite wisdom that has been compressed into this written word. Consequently, we need supernatural divine assistance. Therefore, we ask for fresh unction and anointing, firstly upon my heart and my lips, so that indeed I will speak as I should as an oracle of God. Secondly, upon the ears and the hearts of everybody that will hear me, those who are here physically, those who will hear me remotely, electronically, so that this word will flow freely from you through me to the people, to do an internal and eternal work in every heart, including my own, causing our wills to become more humble, minds to be more enlightened with revelation knowledge, emotions to be more controlled, tempered and empowered by the fruit of the Holy Spirit, by the power of the fruit of the Spirit. We further pray, as we speak, your power will be released in great measure to follow these words wherever they are heard and released in all the earth. Yea, power that will heal, power that will deliver, power that will break yokes, yes, that will free men, so that indeed they will become doers of what they hear, and not hearers only. We further pray for mercy to be faithful in the delivery of the word, that indeed I will do it with precision, redeem the time, speaking only what you want me to say, bringing out of the treasure of this word things new and old, indeed as a scribe instructed unto the kingdom. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. And all those in agreement with me, receiving every blessing I mentioned in that prayer in their own individual life, agreed with me and said, amen. Hallelujah. Like we said, this is our School of the Spirit. We are teaching on Christian perfection. It's not very popular, praise the Lord. It's not something you hear everywhere, sadly, but it should be, praise the Lord, because this is God's will now, because we're in the end time. My wife and I were talking earlier today, you know, there's another hurricane that's approaching America. You know, it's actually hit part of the Caribbean. It hit the Antigua Islands, you know. It missed St. Kitts. Yeah, it did. You know, my wife was, somebody texted us, you know, from America and said, oh, thank God it didn't hit St. Kitts. I said, well, that's good. You know, and, you know, in fact, she was praying about it a few days ago. I said, Lord, and these guys have just gone through one. Please have mercy. Let this thing empty itself out in the Atlantic Ocean instead of it hitting the mainland, you know. And, well, it hasn't happened that way. And God said, it's signs of the end time. It's difficult to change. Signs of the end times. Difficult to change. You can help individuals, you know, God can protect individuals, but God won't change it because it's part of the signs of the end time. And while I'm at it, it's usually many of these things are a consequence of man's disobedience and what they have done to the planet. I don't know whether, you know, many of you understand this or not, but spiritual sin has a physical effect. I don't know. You know, go and read, you know, Deuteronomy. When God was giving command to the children of Israel, when they go into the land, he warned them. He said, if you go to the land, he said, the land will rise up against you. They don't understand. You know, it's, some nice Bible student, find me one of those scriptures. He was talking about homosexuality and some of these things. He said, the land itself, it will rise against you. It will vomit you out of itself. That's what's happening, folks. You know, America in particular. That's why the sins, you know, sin affects not just your, you know, not just your as an individual. It affects the environment. Thank you, Prof. He says, and the land is defiled. Open your mouth. Therefore, do I visit iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth the inhabitants. So that's how I'm praying. God said, you can't change it. He said, I will help some people. So it's good for you to pray. I'll help righteous individuals. You know, so it will hit, but maybe it won't hit this guy's house. You know, it can happen. This person's house will be preserved, the other house will not be. That's God making his distinction. But to stop the hurricane completely, you can't. Because part of the signs of the end time. And a consequence of sin, you know, it's confusion. Give me that scripture. This homosexuality thing, it's an abomination to God. You know, there's no sin that is good, but the Bible talks about the greater sin. You know, adultery is horrible. Do you understand? I mean, all those things are bad, you know. But you see, this one is against nature. Thank you. From verse 22. Move up to verse 22. I don't know why God had me start with this. It's the end time. Thou shalt not lie. See, oh, can you see that verse 25 is a consequence? Therefore, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind. It is abomination. You can't remove it from the Bible. Some of the stupid modern translations try to remove it. That's why I should stay with the King James. You read the other translations when it gives clarity. Because of the modern English and all of that. But let your reading and the meditation be in the King James so they don't cheat you and deceive you. Jesus said we should not take away from the words of this book. Next verse. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith. Once you start homosexuality, you move to bestiality. It's a downward slope. My wife and I saw something one of these times when we traveled, you know, recently, you know, this is about sometime in the summer, you know, sometime in July or something, went to Canada, and then we went to a place called Niagara, which has a border with America. You can actually drive across, you know, the Niagara in Canada borders with the state of New York. So we went across, you know, I saw something I've never seen in my life. There was a guy, or a woman, I don't know where it was. Yeah. I had a dog. And the way the dog was behaving to the person, we saw it too. It wasn't, somebody didn't tell me. It was, you know, like, yeah. I couldn't believe it. I called, I said, honey, that is why, you see, these sins of error, one leads to another. Bestiality. You know they care more about animals than they do about human beings. If you know how much they spend on, if you go to England and in America, go to the supermarket, you get the place of the pet shoe, pet food. You know where they sell the food for the pets. So it's almost as big as the one for the human being. How's that people like, prof, here I make a lot of money. Because the vet doctor sometimes gets more money than the human doctor. True. Not that I shouldn't look after animals. I'm not against looking after animals. But, you know, he says they love the creature more than the creator. Oh, come on. You know, stand before a beast to lie down there too. He says it is confusion. These are God's words. And they haven't changed. Next verse. Defile yourself. Elanui. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things. For in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Stop! You can see God is no respecter of persons. You see, a lot of people, you know, somebody's asked me a question recently. You know, God told Joshua to kill all these people. Isn't that genocide? You know, after all, God is love. Why would God allow Israel to come in and kill all those, the Amorites and the Jebusites and all those people? After all, God loves all people. The same argument is being used today about the Palestinians. You know the unfortunate thing, Pastor G, is because people are dishonest. Very dishonest. You only read half of the story. Do you know God gave people 400 years to repent? He told Abraham. He said, look, your people are going to go to a land. They will be there for 400 years. He said, after that, I will bring them here. He said, because the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. What was God waiting for? Giving them space to change. Somebody said, what if they had changed? Israel would still have come to the land and they would have had peace with them. Because God told them, say, when you get there, don't go to Edom. God made a distinction. God didn't take all the land. It was only the bad guys God took out. And everybody forgets, Pastor G, they conveniently forget that without Israel, there would have been no Egypt. They would all have died in the famine, if not for Joseph. The God who saved all of them from famine, is it the same God who wants to kill all of them? It's their sin that killed them. The whole world would have perished if God did not send a man. The God, he saved Egypt and all the nations round at that time. The same God. And you know how they repaid them? They put all the babies of the Egyptians and fed them to the crocodiles inside the Nile River. And everybody gets angry when God now sends Moses and he now brings plagues against them. Say, God is wicked. God is not wicked. It's those people who are wicked. Read half the Bible. The one that's convenient for us. The one that's not. You know, look at the whole truth. Don't you never say, God is a good God. He's righteous. He's just. He will not do iniquity. If you see God, if you're punishing people, it's because they deserve it and refuse to repent. Give the Lord a clap offering. And he doesn't punish immediately. God's nature has never changed. He's still the same. Before he made the devil and every other thing, he has always been like that. You know, God does not have love. God is love. And God's nature is that he endures long and is patient and kind. He has always endured long and he has always been patient and kind. He didn't kick the devil out the first day. Satan disobeyed him. Gave him chance. He endures long and is patient and kind. But he gets to a particular point. God has to act, otherwise the rest of creation will be in trouble. He says, if you don't judge iniquity, if you don't deal with it, he says a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. So out of love for the other people, God has to deal with the bad people. Amen. So even in his justice is love. Amen. I don't know if you're getting it. I was talking about hurricane. I tried to
pray? I did. Because when I saw the first one, I said, I didn't pray about that one. I said, well, you know, I really wasn't paying attention. You know, but this one, they said, it is coming. I said, God, please come and have mercy. I mean, these guys have just, you know. Yeah, I prayed, you know. And I said, please, can you just shift that thing? Move it. Let some angels go and move that thing into the Atlantic and let it empty itself so it doesn't hit the continental U.S. And God said, it's past the end time. It's difficult to change. He said, but I'll help some people. So good for you to pray. Sin is a terrible thing. It doesn't only affect you. It affects your children. It will affect your children's children. It will affect the land. Now, scripture. Remember Saul? Remember Saul? He killed the Gibeonites. Saul was dead. He was dead. Dead for years. David was already king, and there was 3 years of famine. David said, God, what is happening? He said, it is for Saul. Innocent blood that is shed affects the land. Thank you. Thank you for talking about Nigeria. Thank God for Christians, though. Thank God that they say, if I find 10 people there, I will spare the place. The reason why Nigeria is still okay is because their God still has a remnant that is serving him. If God was to deal with this country the way that, because of all the other horrible things that these other politicians and all these wicked people are doing, God would have finished all of them long ago. That's why what we come and do here every Tuesday is very important. Thank God there are some people who are even praying and living a righteous life by the blood of Jesus and the word of God. These people, you know, the sin, the amount of sin and wickedness daily. But trust me, God is coming. In the fullness of Christ. These things we're preaching. And you will see justice. Amen. Let me say it in Yoruba. In other words, don't think you can get away with it. Be sure of this one thing. Moses said, your sin will find you out. If you don't repent. And if you repent and you forsake, then mercy will triumph over judgment. But it's all conditional. I don't know if I've helped anybody. Hallelujah. So, that's why it's so important for us to learn what we're learning, so that the glory of God can come, and then God's mercy can be upon the people who are honest, the people who are disobedient and rebellious. You know, it's a two-edged sword. For the honest people, you know, they will be healed and delivered, there'll be revival. For the dishonest, they'll be like Ananias and Sapphira, they'll be judged. So this glory that's coming has two sides to it. You got to understand that. You got to understand that. And that's not only true for the world, it's also true for the church. In fact, it starts in the church. So all this rubbish and nonsense, these people, you know, preaching for money, telling lies in the sleight of men, in cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. He says, Pastor Joey preached from that scripture yesterday, you know, the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and it will be a swift judgment. It's coming. It's coming. And don't waste your time trying to pray for them. He says, I give them space. He says, and I give her space to repent. That woman called Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, that teaches my servants to commit fornication and to give idol, and today idolatry is money, covetousness. He said, I gave her space to repent. He says, and I will cast, God is a terrible God. Oh. He said, I will kill her with death. Isn't death bad enough? It's bad God to kill her. I will kill her with death, and her children, and I'll cast them into a bed. And all the churches shall know that I am he that searches the hearts, and I will give unto everyone according to his works, then mercy again, except they repent. See, God. God has no pleasure in punishment and killing people. but he will do it when it's necessary. As a lesson to the rest. It says, and they will hear, and they will fear, and so shall you remove evil from your midst. Say, your eyes shall not pity. Come on, folks. Don't look me funny. You know, if somebody has a disease that can kill everybody, what did you quarantine them? Not because you don't love them, because you still love them. You love them, but you also love the other people. If you leave them and they allow the last thing to spread, they kill everybody. That's what God does. Of course, you quarantine them. It's a place called hell. It's true. Eternal quarantine. I don't know. Lord, let me get back to my message. So God's purpose is for the church to grow in the perfection of fullness of Christ. It's very important to God now because we're in the end time. And that's where I got the hurricane from. And all the signs are there. I shared this last week. You know, we've got the signs in the heavens. We had the blood moons. You know, we've got the eclipse that just happened. You know, then, you know, distress of nations. If you're not distressed now, I don't know where you will be. With Kim and Donald and Putin. That's enough to distress anybody. That trio. You know. Everybody's talking and making noise and, you know. If I was not a Christian and I did not know how to pray, I would be worried. But I'm not worried. You know why? I don't think God is in control. I know God's in control. Do you understand why? Because I'm praying. And I know that in all things God is working for the good of those that love Him. Now I know there'll be problems around, but God will work around them. And His will be done in our lives. See, but a man who is not praying, who is not working with God, can't talk like that. He's going to be afraid. Another message for another day. Alright, so it's the perfect will of God that we grow into and manifest the perfection of fullness of Christ, manifest the glory of God, that will break and ultimately disciple the nations. Because that's the condition that will bring Jesus. For this to happen, we grow spiritually. This is the will of God. You know, we looked at this last time and it says, that ye be no more children. Give me that scripture. It's in Ephesians chapter 4. You know, you be no more children, tossed to and fro. In other words, it displeases God when we remain children. Now, of course we start as children. But if you stay as a spiritual child, it is displeasing to God. God wants you to grow. So by reason of time, you ought to be teachers. You know, and so you're not carried about, and deceived and all of that. So spiritual growth is not an option. It's compulsory. When you don't grow spiritually, you're displeasing to God. I'm going to repeat it. Because nobody said amen. They don't like this kind of messages. You know, when you don't grow spiritually, you're displeasing to God. Amen. So you've got to grow. Make growth an important priority and imperative in your life. So we start with, like Jesus at Bethlehem, babe, when we first get born again, and we grow into babe, little children. And young men in Nazareth, and then we go into Capernaum, we're growing to full maturity, then we can inherit the Spirit without measure and do the kind of miracles we see Jesus do in his life and ministry. It's very interesting. I ask this rhetorical question sometimes. I'll ask it again today. When last did you see anybody turn water to wine? Or walk on water? I haven't seen anybody do that. Well, neither have I. You understand? Neither have I even heard it, in the annals of church history. The kind of miracles Jesus did were such on such a level that they distinguished it from the ones we do. We do miracles too. We speak in tongues. We lay hands on the sick and they recover. We cast out devils. We see that, but we don't see this other level. Hello? You know, And it has to come, because that's what's going to break the world, you know. And so we need to grow spiritually using the blood, the word, and the spirit to remove the sin nature from the soul and the body, you know, using the seven pillars of wisdom, and grow. God, you know, it's a practice. In the world, they say practice makes perfect. It's true. Spiritually, it's the same thing. So you practice these spiritual laws and principles over time, you will clean out. That's the word the scripture uses. It says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and the spirit, perfecting, present continuous. So it's not an instant thing. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The fear of God is the foundation. Honesty and humility of heart. Okay, so we're now studying, so we're using Jesus as our prototype, our example, when we're looking at the life and the ministry of Christ as recorded in the four Gospels. I've said this in times past, it bears repetition. The four Gospels have a twofold purpose. The first purpose is evangelical, which is what the church is used to. Amen. You know, so that we believe Jesus is the Son of God and we get born again. Amen. See, these things were written that you might believe Jesus is the Christ, you know, and that believing you might have life through his name. But that's only one part of the purpose. The second purpose of the gospel is to show us what it really means to be a son of God, and then for us to grow and manifest and duplicate it here on earth. Now that purpose is usually downplayed or totally ignored or even not believed. Hence the scripture says, as he is, so are we in this world. I like that. Beautiful scripture, Pastor G. You know, you can't wiggle out of that. Amen. Open your mouth, folks. Say, as he is, so are we, not when we get to heaven, in this world. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's your destiny. As he is, so are we in this world. You know, a beautiful scripture again in Timothy says, having the promise of the life that now is. See, we all put everything, the glory and every, when we get to heaven, at the resurrection we will be healed. At the resurrection we will, you know, we will have the glory of God. We'll have a glorified, all that is true, but it's also true you have it here. And incidentally, if you don't have it here, it's very likely you're going to have too much of it on the other side. Now you will have something, because one star does differ from another star in glory. You know, there, I said this last time, it's coming again, because we're in the end time. So God wants these end time themes to become emphasized in the church, so that it marks our thinking. You know, in the last 20-30 years, Pastor G, you know, when we got born again and filled with the Holy Spirit, you know, and God brought what I call the faith principles. You know, many of us that time, you know, I was just a young kid, you know, and many of the pastors and all of that, particularly here in Nigeria, but it's so true in America, you know, there was a shift, you know, after the evolution of the church. You had the Azusa Street Revival in 1906, the baptism of the Holy Spirit in 1901 in Topeka, Kansas, you know, with Parham and all those guys, you know, and there was this move of the Holy Ghost. It came with a lot of power but little knowledge. And that's why many of those movements blew up. It was old Wigglesworth who said, all spirit and no word will make you blow up. All word and no spirit will make you dry up. But it is the combination of the word and the spirit that will make you grow up. All right? So, we even had here in Nigeria, you know, people like Babalola, the ACSC revival here. Great miracles, but no knowledge. So it blew up. It blew up. So, about 1948, 1950, God begins to bring revelation to the church. You know, and God appears to a young man in America called Kenneth Hagin, and begins to teach him the principles of faith and how to use the Word of God and revelation knowledge and stuff like that, based on the foundation of what men like E.W. Kenyon and others have taught. So, from 1948, 1950 onwards, we began to have more knowledge. We're going to have more Bible teaching, more revelation knowledge. Most people don't, even now if you say revelation knowledge, most people look at you like Carter Newgate. You don't know what revelation knowledge is. You know, well, that should be the main theme of every church. So this knowledge came, And, you know, by the 1960s, the charismatic move, you know, in the 70s and then the 80s, when people like us, late 70s, 80s, when people like us came in and come here to Nigeria, you know, a lot of that, thank God for Brother Emiko, you know, and others who God used as channels to bring in the books of Kenneth Hagin and you know, all this Pentecostal, charismatic word of faith teaching. So there was an explosion of knowledge, you know, of the Word of God, which was not before. Now, this knowledge of the Word, sadly, was now only used for the material. Let me correct myself. Was mostly used for the material. Money and all that. And we prospered. For instance, we started Scripture Pastor in 1984. By 1987, 88, our offerings were already going in the millions. I was just a kid. Millions. And that time I was seeing 1 naira to 1. It was big money. Remember that time, Pastor G? Come on, go to London. You know, guys were selling my books in London and making hundreds of thousands of pounds. Remember that my friends came to me, Brother Banks and all that. He said, OG, what are you doing sitting here? He said, guys, he said, you know, but some one guy told him, gave me an open invitation. He said, any day, just come, you know. We'll fill the place and all of that. God said, don't move anywhere. It would destroy you. Thank God I listened. Amen. You know, you know, and I saw the trend, you know, that it was highly materialistic and all of that. I believe in prosperity, still do. You know, believe in God blessing us materially and financially, but I knew that an overemphasis would kill us. You know, and so the knowledge was wrongly used. Even though it was the correct knowledge, the emphasis of its application was wrong. Notice, I'm going to repeat what I said. The knowledge was good, but the emphasis of its application was what was wrong. And so some of us, by the help of the Holy Spirit, through the influence of prophets like S.G. Elton, then later on, Papa Ralph, and you know, I got to get into the books of Bill Britton and George Warnock, and I saw the other side, which actually had started in 1948, called the Latter Rain Movement. But you know, it wasn't known, you know. So anyway, the point I'm making is this, which is very, very important. There was an overemphasis on using faith for material things. Whereas, the will of God is, yes, we use faith for material things, but we should use faith for perfection and to inherit a better resurrection and have a better glory. This is the will of God. This is the our emphasis of God. So now, after all that error, now an error not of truth, but an error of overemphasis, God is now having us change the focus. That's why you're having me, to the glory of God, teaching these things now. So when I come and I teach you about the glory, and I teach you about the resurrection, and I teach you, you know, about first flight, and I teach you, you know, because I want to change your orientation. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. You can't live your Christian life only for this life. And so it's very important for you to understand that all these things we're doing, you know, is to grow in the perfection of fullness, manifest the glory of God in this life, and, you know, lay a solid foundation for the life to come. If you have the glory in this life, it is certain you'll get it in the other life. Certain. So you want to make sure you lay that foundation, so that when the time comes for you to go to heaven, where however you go, you know, there are different routes. Amen. We're all going to the same place. But sadly, we will not be the same when we get there. Is not every Christian who's going to reign with God? Oh, you have to qualify. Amen. He that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. I preached a message many, many years ago. Go and check it out. It's called Becoming an Overcomer. Amen. There are seven increasingly glorious rewards of the overcomer. You understand? There's one who just eat of the tree of life. There's one who will not be hurt of the second death. There's the one, you know, that will start getting the hidden manna, you know, and so on and so forth. I can't, you know, it's in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, you know. But it shows that there are different levels. And it is those kind of things that we need to preach and teach so that the church will become motivated, you know, with a purer level with a higher level of purity. He that had this hope in him purifies himself. The reason why we don't see the level of purity in the church is they don't have any hope. The only hope they have is that Jesus just come through the sky one day and catch them away after they have sinned and misbehaved. And then they're going to see in heaven all, you know, for the next 1,000 or 1 million years just singing. How boring that would be. Amen. Of course we're going to sing. Of course we're going to worship. But that's not all we're going to do. We're going to reign for God. Have you ever seen a king that doesn't have any sense? The Bible says, that's not Olubi Johnson talking. That's scripture. He says, if we are to judge angels, he said, how much more the things of this life? Stop thinking slow, low. We're going to judge, we're going to be great. We're sons of God, you know. Hallelujah. And so your mentality, your whole paradigm, the way you think has to completely change from a earthly perspective to a heavenly perspective. Therefore, set your affections not on things below, but on things above. You know, my mentality to the glory and the mercy of God has changed over the years. I don't think earthbound. I think heavenly. And everything I do, I judge how is it going to affect my resurrection? Oh, yes, so. Pastor G. How is it going to... I don't want anything to mess my resurrection up. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Unless you don't believe you're going to be resurrected. You know? If you really believe, you're careful. Don't want anything to do, you know? So you live right. You stay away from sin. You know, and you grow spiritually. You know, you honor God because you don't want anything to mess your resurrection. He said that they may obtain. He says women refused. He says they refused to, you know, compromise that they may obtain. It's in Hebrews chapter 11. They had something in view. I refused. I refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Talking about Moses. But he had respect unto the... He endured as seemed as visible and had respect unto the recompense. I'm going somewhere. I didn't hear anything. I don't know. He said, you're not going anywhere. I'm going somewhere. So that we may obtain a better... It means that there are levels of resurrection. And the way I live here will determine the type of, I call it the order and the glory of the resurrection. There are different orders, and in each order, there are different glories. Not the same thing, no. You know, there is the first flight, that's one order. Then there's the middle flight, that's another order. Then there's the third flight, that's another order. Then inside that first order, there are different glories. You think Paul is mad? Paul said, I don't think you guys understand. You think I don't have any sense. Yeah, it's only Peter and James that know about to lead, go about to lead a sister. You think I don't like girls? Yeah, so he said, I keep my body under. I bring it into subjection. Lest after I preach to others, I be disapproved or I get a lesser resurrection. That doesn't mean you shouldn't marry. Praise the Lord. You know, that's where that funny doctrine came out from. No. But he's, after all, Joseph married. Didn't Joseph have a great resurrection? Joseph's resurrection was so great. God showed him the resurrection of Jesus thousands of years. And he told them, he said, don't leave my bones in Egypt. Because he knew that on the day Jesus was going to resurrect, the graves were going to open in Jerusalem. And that if he was in Egypt, there is no way he could walk all the way to Jerusalem and partake of that first resurrection. Give the Lord a clap offering. Hallelujah. That's a guy who's going somewhere. So he said, wait, boys. When you guys are going, take my bones. He knew they were going. And beyond a shadow of a doubt. He said, when you get, take my bones so that when we get to the, I'm put inside the promised land. Imagine stretching your faith thousands of years. Give the Lord a clap offering. Then give Joseph a clap offering. Hallelujah. And then why are you giving Joseph a clap? Because he's alive. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. For God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. And we encompass about with so great a cloud of witnesses. Are you am I listening to? Are you talking to? Am I talking to everybody? Amen. He knew. You know. You and I should be like that. He said, make sure, because he knew God was coming. I think one of the greatest examples of a saint in the Bible is Joseph. Just lived a normal life. You say, okay, maybe Paul didn't marry, maybe Daniel didn't marry, and so they had time to pray. but you can't expect normal people to do like that. Joseph was very normal. He even married an Egyptian princess. The daughter of the priest of On. And she didn't corrupt him, he sanctified her. Hallelujah. Amen. You remember my message, Joseph had no Bible. That's a guy. That's his person. You want to follow somebody, follow Joseph. Excellent. By the time Joseph was 50, he had fulfilled his destiny. Talk about the guy who didn't waste his time. By 50, yes. He was before Pharaoh at 30. There was the 7 years of plenty, 7 years of famine. That's 14. 14 plus 30 is 44. By 40, 39 or so, he had brought his dad home. He was made known to his brother after 2 years of the famine. There were still 5 years. So, he was 30, 37. By 39, he had brought his dad. Made himself known to his brethren. Amen. For the rest of his life, he was just, that's a good way to go. Amen. Why waste time? Turn to your neighbor and say, why waste time? Please, let's get to know God quickly and fulfill your destiny and then enjoy the rest of your life. Spend your years in pleasures and your days in prosperity. Give the Lord a clap offering. Don't waste time. I said this many years ago, I'll say it again. Sin is a waste of time. It's a total distraction and waste of time. I've got too many important things to do than to sin. Did you hear me? I didn't hear amen to that. I know some people want to play with sin. I've got too many important things to do than to waste my time sinning. The waste of time. How glory to God! Woo! Thank God for Joseph. Joseph is a sterling example. Amen. He completely typifies Jesus. Hated of his brethren. He was the savior of the world. Of his time. Amen. Say, forgive them for they know not what they are doing. Forgave his brethren. This guy became the most powerful man in the world. Pharaoh was not the most powerful man. It was Joseph. And Pharaoh recognized it. Pharaoh who gave, we call him Joseph, but it's an Egyptian name, I've forgotten the name, that Pharaoh gave him. It means savior of the world. That's the name Pharaoh gave Joseph. What's the name? Some wonderful Egyptian name. Amen. It means the savior of the age. Thank you. Zapha, whatever. Amen. It means savior of the world. Are you listening to me? Joseph was a great guy. Great guy. You know, with all his wealth and all his influence and all his power, his brothers come to him. You know, they think they are like, he's like them, who keeps grudges. They said, our father said, he said, we are thy servants. You know, and our father said, forgive thy servants. Joseph began to cry. He said, you boys don't understand anything. You meant it for evil. God meant it for good. God sent me ahead of you to save not just you, but so many people. And I said, chill. I'll look after you. Look after your children. You know, just, you know. That's a guy. Give Joseph another clap offering. Hallelujah. That's the kind of person you can follow. And he had no church, no pastor. Hello. Nobody say, why were you in church yesterday, last week? No temple, no Bible, no church, no pastor. You know, it tells me that anybody who wants to really serve God can serve God. He lived in the middle of idols and idol worshippers. Thank you, Pastor G. And again, you know, you will say, you know, if you're in a bad environment, it will affect you. No. Have you ever seen where darkness quenches light? No matter how dark it is, if you put the light on, it will dispel the darkness. Light is always greater than darkness. Everybody, turn to your neighbor and say, light is greater than darkness. Righteousness is greater than sin. Love is greater than hate. Amen. So you put the light. If there's darkness around you, put the light on. And then only put a light on, increase the intensity. You know, this thing we call potentiometers. You know, these kind of light switches, you can dim them and then you can increase it. So not only do we have light, we have the ability under the Holy Spirit to increase the intensity of the light. So I don't care whether you're in Egypt. No matter where you are. Amen. Put the light on and increase the intensity, and all the light around, all the darkness around you will push back. Joseph is the proof. And here is the challenge from the Holy Spirit. If Joseph could do that then, what should you do now? You have a whole Bible. You have Pastor Olubi. You have church. You have brethren around you. You have so much advantage. You should not do anything less than what Joseph did. You will give account. Amen. You can't say amen, say oh me. Yes, to whom much is given, much is required. Joseph didn't have 1/100th of what we have. And yet he lived the kind of life he lived. How much more then should we should outstrip Joseph? Hallelujah. That's why we're preaching this stuff. If you get this, you will outstrip Joseph. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. You manifest the glory of God, dispel the present gross darkness, you know, covering the nations, break and disciple the nations. I mentioned a lot of this last weekend. You know, we're living in a terrible time, as you all know. You know, talked about it at the introduction. You know, a generation, you know, I said this jokingly, you know, but it's true. You know, the kind of leaders we have now, you know. So it tells you how crazy people are. Yeah, it tells you that there's something wrong with the people, because some must have been wrong with the people to produce those kind of leaders. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But good news is that the church is going to arise. Arise and shine. Glory of God. And then we're going to deal with those leaders. And they're not going to like it. Hello? Using Joseph again as a type, Psalm 105, I think it's verse 19 to 21, somewhere in there, it says, he taught his senators and bound his princes at his pleasure. And then in Psalm 149, it says, this honor have all the saints to bind their princes. That's why they won't. That's why the Bible says that the heathen will rage and say, why are these people binding us? Now let me give you a little bit of news before it happens. See, as the end time unfolds, as the glory, the next thing on timetable is now is the glory. That will come any time now. In fact, we're expecting any day now. Because all the other conditions have been fulfilled, and we're in the season. We don't know the day or the hour, but we know the time and the seasons. How? We know time and seasons from the times, the signs Jesus gave us. The blood moon, the eclipses, you know, that, and then the feasts, the appointed time. You know, and all the other conditions, the corresponding conditions of the distress of nations, the sea, what I was talking about, the hurricane, the sea and the waves roaring, you know. So every other thing, so we know the next thing now is the glory. Okay? It can happen any day now. We don't know the day or the hour, but we are in the time and the season. Now, when the glory comes, initially, when I say initially, maybe the first year or two, I don't know exactly, as the time comes, we will know. In detail, you know, everybody will like us. You know why? Kings shall come to thy rising. In our language, that means they wouldn't have seen anything like it. I was reading yesterday, there's a message I'm preparing, it's called Inheriting the Double Glory. Don't miss church. You don't know when I'm going to preach it. Amen. But it's coming. You know, coming attractions. But you know, it says of Solomon. And Solomon is just a small part of what we're going to do. In fact, God told me, he said, Solomon is going to be the borrowed anointing, not the full one. But those people who have the ability of the mind of Christ will be the full thing. God, God just gave to Solomon a sample of what he was going to do in the end time. That's why Jesus said, a greater than Solomon is here. Now, watch this. That Solomon, that is the, you know, the borrowed anointed, the Bible says that he was wiser than all men, greater than the wisdom of Egypt. Give it to me. First Kings chapter 4, verse 21. I don't know if I'm helping anybody here. You know, why are we preaching this? To inspire you. You know, so that you will have spiritual ambition. Don't be a spiritual NFA. When we're in school, these boys go mfa. No future ambition. They don't go to class. They don't do anything. Then when it comes to exam, they say, yami note. Praise the Lord. All right. Now, you shouldn't be like that spiritually. Now, Solomon, reign over all the kingdoms, blah, blah, blah. No, this is not what I want. Yes. And Solomon's wisdom. This is the verse I want. Verse 30, give me 29. Thank you. Give me 29. And God gave. Don't you never say who gave? Who gave? It reminds me of Daniel 2. And God, as for these four children, God gave them. Don't you never say God will give you. For all the promises of God, in him are yea and in him are amen. So talk to your neighbor, say this is your inheritance. And God gave. Talk to somebody, man. Say God gave. Hallelujah. So instead of putting Solomon there, put Larry. And God gave Boyega. And God gave Toyin. And God gave whoever. God gave Rhoda. Mukondashe. Everybody take your own. No. And God gave. And God gave. And God gave. Solomon. But put your name there. Because it's your inheritance. May God help you get it. Do you know this is better than believing for visa? Can you see how Satan has shortchanged us? We spend all our day, all our time and our faith, you know, believing for some mundane material thing. Well, that is what you should be believing for. Because if you have this, you get all the visa in the world. They'll be calling you. They'll dash you their citizenship. They will dash you. And God gave. I don't know about you. I said, and God gave. Solomon. Or you. Wisdom. And understanding. Very little. and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Stop. Give it to me in the Amplified. Mental capacity. And God gave Solomon exceptionally much wisdom and understanding and what? Breadth of mind. He's talking about a mind that could handle a great amount of information. Watch this. Retain, process, and apply. You know, it's one thing to get information. It's another thing to process it. It's another thing to be able to apply it. So you have all the three. Your brain can just scan something, get huge amounts of data. You know, people read, you read three books written for me. Say, can I remember all of this and all of that? You see, it gives you breadth of mind. So you have the mental sagacity to be able to absorb large amounts of information. Breadth of mind. What is a computer? See this mobile phone. The amount of information that's inside it. There's nothing I cannot find out. I just Google it. Do you understand? All kinds if the maths is there, physics is there, engineering is there, literature is there, any information you want in this tiny thing. But this thing doesn't remotely compare to your brain. This one is 160 gigabytes. That's nothing. Your brain is 86 billion neurons. With over 1 trillion interconnections called synapses. The problem is you're just using about 5% of it. That's why you read a book. Inform me. When God gives you breadth of mind, it's worth. Do we agree? It's worth fasting for. It's worth praying for. It's worth living a holy life for. God wants me to bless somebody here tonight. Exceptionally much wisdom and understanding and breadth of mind. That means capacity. Like the seashore. Have you been to the barbage? Just take one handful of sand and try and count all the grains inside. I'm talking about one handful. Not talking about the whole beach. That is the capacity, the mental capacity that you have, that God is going to give you. In fact, He has already given you. The only is that half of it isn't working. It's dormant. So it's not firing. Oh, this is not the Bible now. You know, they can put your brain under a CT scan and you can see the thing, you know, where the red is, where the thing is firing, and the part of it that just quiet. Allah Ashanu. Oh, this guy is a brain scientist. He's a brain scientist. He tell you what I'm telling is true. Amen. So that's why they are going to see what they have not seen before. When everything is firing at full capacity. And Solomon was just a small one. At entry. Thank you, Pastor G. Next verse. Go back to King James. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all, not some, all the wisdom of the East country. And all the wisdom of Egypt. Egypt there is symbolic of the whole world now. The sinner. I don't care whether it's Steve Hawking. I don't care whether it's a guy who's got a PhD or a Nobel Prize. He said, we're going to excel all of them. If you can believe it, believe it. But he ain't done yet. Next verse. Am I helping anybody here? If you don't get fired up with this, I don't know what else can fire you up. For he was wiser than all men. Then he named the people of his own day. We don't know all these guys. Are you following? These are people who are famous in those days. Do you understand? But you know, it's only the fame that God gives you that lasts. Everybody knows Solomon. Who knows Ethan? Ethan. He was a big man in his day, but today, nobody knows him. And Heman, and Chalcol, and Dada, the sons of Mahol. But everybody knows Solomon. Because it was the one God gave. The one that God gives is the one that will last. And his fame, whose fame? Solomon. Was in all nations round about. Next verse. And he spake 3,000 entry level. Pastor Jim. Entry level. 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. Entry level. Next verse. And he spoke of trees, botany, and the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the hyssop that springeth out of the wall. He also spoke of beasts, zoology, and of the fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes, vet. Yes. And this is what I'm saying is going to happen. And they came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon from all kings of the earth which had heard of his wisdom. Fast forward, Isaiah 60. Arise and shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Kings shall come. Next verse, verse 4. Next one after that, verse 5. And the Gentiles, nations, shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Remember, the same time the Bible talks about light, it's talking about wisdom. It's not talking about this light there. It's symbolic. Amen. It says, there was a man in thy father's kingdom in whom was light and excellent wisdom. Talking about Daniel. So that's why it says, in him was light, life, and the life was the light of men. He's talking about the wisdom of God. So anytime you see light, he's talking about wisdom. Am I talking to anybody here? He said, this was going to attract the kings. So when the glory first comes and my vision of God comes, it will be attractive. So people will rush, everybody will come to church. And they will, the mother of the Lord's house shall be exalted among all the mountains, and all nations shall flow into it. And it's going to be nice initially. I'll preach nice things, everybody's going to be happy. You know, loving kindness, miracles, God will heal people, bless them. We love God. Then there will not be a demand for righteousness. Then Allah will start. They don't want to do righteousness. They want a blessing. Then when God demands righteousness, okay, stop living with that woman. Homosexuality is wrong. It's an abomination. It has to stop. We don't believe. Then God's judgment falls. Like Ananias and Sapphira, things like that will happen. Do you understand? God will hit one or two people. It's all in the Bible. It's Psalm 110. You understand? He says, give me Psalm 110. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. Oh, glory to God. Psalm 110. Now, go down. Go down. No, go back. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the days of thy wrath. Next verse. And he shall judge among the nations. Heathen is always nations. And he shall fill the place with dead bodies. And he shall wound the hair. You can now understand, Pastor G, Matthew 24:9. And they shall be hated of all nations. Something has to trigger it. This is what's going to trigger it. Then it shall start fine. Nice. Then I'm giving you news before it happens. You know? Then Psalm 2. Why do the heathen rage? They're angry because God's judgment. And the people imagine a vain thing. Go to Psalm 2 now. Verse 2. The kings of the earth set themselves, the same kings that were blessed by God, the same kings that came to the brightness of the lighting, the same kings, or some of them, not won't be all of them, but you know, I mean, all of them will come. Some will go into righteousness, some won't. But it's those ones that are, you know, and the rulers will take counsel together. And they will meet at the UN. Say, these guys, who do they think they are? Come and tell us that this is wrong, that this is right. You know, and we're going to call it the way it is. The day of diplomacy, you know, it's one of the reasons why God has allowed Trump to some degree. I don't agree with everything Trump does. Don't misunderstand me. You know, but, you know, in some areas, I agree with him. Do you understand? Because, you know, what is the devil is the devil, and what is God. I don't know if I'm talking to anybody here. You know, trying to be politically correct and call black white and white black, it doesn't work. I'm not talking to anybody here. And so, you know, we're going to say what is the truth. Do you understand? What is demonic is demonic. Yeah. And there are no five ways to God. There's only one. His name is Jesus. Every other thing is the devil. Amen. They won't like that. We're not going to be politically correct. We're going to say it exactly the way it is. And if you don't repent, you will die and go to hell. And they're not going to like it. Get ready, you. Then they'll come against us. Then you shall be hated of all. You can understand now. Of all, for my name's sake. Because you are showing righteousness. And they'll attack the church, but they will lose. Next verse. I love this psalm too. Let us break their bands, because we would have been binding them. Yeah. And cast away their cords from us, because we have been putting cords around them. Hello? I'll give you news before it happens. This is a prophetic panorama I'm painting to you. Amen? Revelation knowledge. Cutting edge. Next verse. He that sitteth in the heavens, including us. You know you're seated in the heavens? I don't know if you know that. We're seated together with Jesus in heavenly places. We will laugh. He that sitteth in the heavens shall laugh, and the Lord shall have them in derision. Next verse. Glory. Then shall he speak unto them in his wrath, and vex them in his sore displeasure. Next verse. Yet I have set my holy hill, my holy king on Zion. Now I'm going to stop there. The point is this. A great conflict is ahead. We're going, initially, I don't know, if I use the types and shadows in the Bible, I could be wrong. When the time comes, if I'm wrong, just say, Pastor Libby, you were wrong, and I'll say, yeah, I was. No problem. Amen. I think it's going to, it'll be like the first 3.5 years. Just like tribulation. See, the first 3.5 years, you know, a peace is the last 1260. You know, days that are big, that get tough. You know, that's the relation of the world, but this is the relation of the church. So where we first manifest, the first few years, everybody's going to like us. We'll be going from place to place, preaching. People will be getting born again, filled with the Holy Spirit. Many kings, they will have problems. We'll help them solve it. People will like us. And you know, God gives people the wrong rope. So initially, they won't accept. Well, you know, it will make God give them space to repent. You know, but then, we will then insist on righteousness. We will not compromise. then problem will start. But we'll overcome it. So we will laugh. Amen. They have imagined a vain thing that they are not able to perform. How can you destroy God? Oh, glory to God. Oh, I don't know if I've helped anybody here, but I preach, be happy. Amen. So these are the things that are ahead of us, you know, and that's why this is the time to grow spiritually. It's time to get yourself strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. These challenges are going to come, you know, with the glory. The glory is going to bring His own problems. Are you listening to me? It's going to bring its own. And that's why we have to be ready. Put on the whole armor of God. You know, when you are attacked, you can reply. Look at Joseph again, Daniel. You know, there'll be persecution and attack against the church, but the church will overcome it. Hallelujah. Now, during this time, a lot of terrible things will happen. Many will be offended. Many will betray one another. The love of many will wax cold. Because some Christians, like the house of Saul, would take sides. Remember the whore and the beast. The beast represents the governments. The whore represents the church. The apostate church. They come together and they fight Zion, but they will lose. Okay. And so we overcome them, you know, and then we that's why we break and rule and disciple. We break them by the force of spiritual arms, the ministry of angels. And then after all the initial fight and everything is subjugate them, then we can then preach the gospel unto all ethnos for a witness before Jesus comes. That's what's ahead. So what were we now in time of preparation? A time of preparation now. Get ready, folks. Get ready. You know, what's coming is not going to be a walk in the park. Are you listening to me? You got to be strong spiritually and know what you're doing. And that's why we're looking at Jesus. I just look at Luke chapter 12. I believe we're in. Yeah, that's a good place to end. And look at verses 8. Luke 12. Have I helped anybody here tonight? Say, God gave them. Hallelujah. Verse 8. To 12, it says, and I tell you, I'm in the wrong version. Let me get back to the King James. I don't, all these modern translations, I don't trust them. Also I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of God. And he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But he that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him. This speaks of rejecting Christ after you've reached spiritual maturity. They have tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost. They have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. If they shall fall away, says there shall be no more repentance. You want to ask a question, Pastor G, what would make someone like that do that then? Pressure. Because iniquity shall abound. See, folks, I mean, people's lives are going to be threatened. Their properties are going to be threatened. Their families are going to be threatened. You know, if you don't do this, the governments and the church and the religious establishment the same happened in the Roman Empire. You know, and try and pressurize you to compromise. And then you tell them, you can do what you want, shoot your best shot. Amen. We're not going to change what we're saying, because what we're saying is the truth. And you know what? God will save you. Remember the lion's den? God saved him. Remember Nebuchadnezzar's fire? God saved them. So same thing is going to happen. I mean, not exactly, it doesn't necessarily be a lion's den or a fire, but there will be pressures like that. But the guys who know their God will be strong, and they will do exploits, and they will overcome it. But the guys who don't know their God will compromise. Because under pressure, they will reject, they will, look at this context. Whosoever shall confess me before men. They won't confess. They'll say, no, I don't believe in all that. Don't mind them. Oh, I don't believe it. You know, remember, Peter denied Christ under pressure. Why? He was afraid he would be killed. He thought that if he said he was, they would ask, the girl said, this is one of them. So, you know, he was afraid that if they said one of them, they would just take me with him. He said, I don't know the man, oh. In those days, I don't know that Pastor Lubio. I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't go to that their church. No, I don't go. I don't preach all of that. Oh, no. I believe we all serve the same God. Whereas the pastor had just said that if you don't believe in Jesus, it's the only way, the truth, and the life. No. Things are coming to a head, folks. So you better wake up, know what you know. Be strong. They that know their God shall be strong. And they shall do exploits. You know, I'm a nice guy, by the mercy and the grace of God. You know, I mix with Muslims and Buddhists and people from other faiths and all of that. You know, and when I have to talk to them, I talk to them. You know, but I don't compromise my faith. I tell them, look, okay, fair enough. You know, I always tell them, I say, look, you may have the right motive, but you're going about it in the wrong way. I say it as nicely as I can, but I'm not going to move an inch. You know why? Very simple. It's the truth. 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 And if you really love people, ultimately God tell them the truth. He says, better is a man that rebuketh than he that flattereth with the tongue. You tell him, you know, tell him the truth. Nicely, of course. You know, you know, Jesus wasn't condemnatory. You know, Jesus says, you know, they have sheep that are not of this fold. Yeah, he's a good, nice guy. He may not be my religion. And I say, okay, yeah. You know, one guy answered the question. Jesus said, you're not far. You're not there, but you're not far from the kingdom of God. So, you know, we look for ways of helping people, but we don't change the truth. Hello, somebody. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And so he's speaking in the context of persecution and the end time. He that denies, and whosoever shall speak shall not be forgiven him. Verse 11. And when they bring you, and they will, unto synagogues, and unto magistrates, and powers, means authorities, and take ye no thought. I didn't hear you. What thing you shall answer? Or what you shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you what you shall say in that same hour. In another, let's say. So God is telling, he's preparing us. That's why, you know, he says, sons of Issachar who had understanding of the times and what Israel ought to do. So we're living, all the signs are there. All the signs of the end time, they're there right now. So what we need to do is, you know, wake up. Put on the armor of light. For our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. You know, tough days are coming, but don't worry. Turn to your neighbor and say, chill, man. Don't worry. Amen. You're going to be okay. You'll make it. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. And I'm going to tell you some good news as I close. You remember Peter? We talked about him a minute ago. You know, Peter denied the Lord. You know, but you see, at that time he wasn't born again. You have to remember that. This is before the resurrection. You understand? He wasn't born again. You know, and he hadn't matured spiritually. He was so God didn't take it against him. Immediately Jesus was resurrected, the first person he asked for was Peter. So God told him, "I am Peter," to encourage him. Look, I know you messed up, but it doesn't matter. You know, but come and see the same Peter. Koshelemengarto frenes. The same Peter, just 50 days later, now with the fire of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. 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 The same Peter. The same Peter. Now with the Holy Ghost. And they came and they arrested them. And said, "You should not preach or teach in the name." He said, "Judge ye whether we should serve God or serve men." And he said, when they saw the boldness. So you may be weak now, but you're going to come bold. The glory is coming. And that bold will make you bold. It will make you strong. Hallelujah. And you'll be able to stand before kings and princes and whoever else and stand for the name of your God. Hallelujah. And guess what? Good news. You change a lot of people. When the three Hebrew boys stood against Nebuchadnezzar, he changed Nebuchadnezzar. He said, "Now I know there is no other God." And that will happen in our time. Stand to your feet. Glory to God. Have I helped anybody here? Oh, glory to God. Talk to your neighbor. Or rather, not talk, ask the Lord. Say, "God, give me. Give me, give me, give me, give me. God, give me." Say, and God gave. I have two witnesses. Solomon and Daniel. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. As for these four children, God gave. And God gave Solomon. Now God will give Wale.
Amen.
And God will give Buiga.
Amen.
And whatever your name is. Everybody say, "God, give me." Talk to God. Talk to God. Talk to God. God's God. Say, "God, this thing that's coming, I'm not going to miss it all. God, give me. God, give me. God, give me. God, give me. God, give me." Don't worry, persecution will come with it, but that's okay. You know, I like God. You know why? He's very honest, Pastor G. You know, he told us, he said, the 100-fold come with persecutions. He never told you the glory, the 100-fold, it will. Pastor G, how many men have 100 houses that you know of? I was meditating on it the other day. Go and check it out. How many people do you know in this earth that have 100 houses? There are not many. There are some, but very few. Anybody who has 100 houses is a billionaire. That's what Jesus promised, you know. He started with lands and stopped with houses, and then everything in between was not material. It was brothers and mothers and fathers and, you know. But he started houses, then brother, father, mother, sisters, wives, blah, 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 and then ended with lands. Because God knows that in the end time, real estate. 100. And it's not, that 100 is just symbolical. It's a 100-fold. But he said, with it will come persecution. Are you listening to me? So with the glory, with this, like he did with Daniel, you know, it will come with persecution, but you will overcome the persecution. So chill. Now talk to God. Say, "I want with the persecution." Oh yeah, talk. Say, "I want with the persecution." Only Pastor Gwe can pass away. Nobody else is praying that prayer. Pray. I don't want persecution. Pastor Boss, help your man. Say, "I want with the persecution." Talk to God, everybody. Say, "I want. God gave me with the persecution." That's a complete package. But you will overcome it. Amen. Talk to God. Talk to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. I'm so excited. Great things are here. So don't you worry. Don't worry. Things are coming, but we will overcome them. The greatest hour of the history of the world is just before us. The glory will come. There will be a lot of blessing. Then persecution will come. We'll overcome it. Then we'll disciple the nations. Preach the disciple every ethnos. And then we check out. Nice timetable. Nice timetable. So know what you are here for. Know what you are living for. So you're not living to be a doctor, a lawyer, or a teacher. You're living to be like Jesus. Then as more like Jesus you become, then you'll be a good doctor. You can be a good teacher, a good engineer, whatever it is else you're doing. All you're doing is important in its place. But that's not why you're here. You're here to be like Jesus. You are the peace that guards my heart,
my help in time of need.
You are the hope that leads me on and brings me to my knees. For here I find you waiting, and here I find relief. So with all my heart I worship, and unto you I say,
Lord, you alone deserve all glory.
your heart, your head. That's what that this mind is. God is going to use it to amaze the nations. Since there's going to be a little difference between Pentecost and Tabernacles. See, Pentecost concentrated on physical miracles, healing, deliverance, basically, you know, and minimal prosperity. But Tabernacles will include all of that, for the greater swallows up the letter. But it will go beyond that. It will be intellectual miracles. Including physical miracles. That's why the kings of the earth will come to the light, the wisdom. They will not have seen anything like it, like in the time of Solomon. People came from all over. So what is this? Raise that hand. Say, Father, we confess our sins, and so we clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life. Lord, have mercy on us as we pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this word that you brought to me tonight, reminding me of the glory that is imminent. The glory you are about to manifest in your church that is growing into perfection. A glory that will be greater than the glory of Solomon. That will attract the attention of all the kings of the earth and of all the nations of the earth. Oh God, have mercy on me that I miss not this great visitation. Help me now by your mercy and grace to watch and pray always, so I will be accounted worthy to stand before you as you come in your church in your glory and in your perfection. Help me, Lord. You helped Solomon. You helped Daniel. You helped Joseph. Have mercy on me. Help me in my generation. Help me. Help me. I come to you with an honest and a sincere heart. Help me. Help me. All I have learned, all you've given me, help me to practice them. Practice them daily, so that I'll get better and better at it. So that when the glory comes, I'll be partaker thereof. I will be a wise virgin, not a foolish one. I will have oil, not only in my lamp, but in my vessel. God, help me in Jesus' name.
Zefri, number dofri dofri shingar dofri, dofri ningar dolos, dofri nilikaras, tolomash dofri ningaras, tolomash dofres, jilika karas, tolomangardos, jiki dofrinis, nangar dolos, jilike koros, dofri ningaras, zofri nilikikos, lunga dolomash dofrinis, dungar dolomaras, tolomash dofres, jilikara. Tolomagaras, Tufrines, Tolomash Tufris, Zofridilis, Tufriningar, Tufris, Zofridia, Sofregram Tufris, Zefridi, Tolomashangara, Changa Tufridis, Lupridigask, in Jesus' name.
Say, Father, we confess our sins, so clean with the blood, so clean with the blood from all unrighteousness. In Jesus' name we have life.